Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
The words.
Adonai's words. From the prophet?
Isaiah.
The prophet Isaiah writes, "Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Come out. I want to hear you sing. I want to hear your pretty voice. Come.
Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
You are mine. That's right.
The person you are today is an accumulation of the life experiences that you've had. Many of those are good experiences. Mary had a wonderful foundation and grew up in a loving home. Her dad taught her to love God, taught her the scriptures, and gave her a gift that very few women in the first century had. He taught her how to read. There were many good things in Mary's life. Your life and mine is also the story of the bad experiences, the hurts, the pains, the things that others have done to us, the wounds that we carry. Sometimes those wounds can be so deep and the hurt can be so great that we choose to live out of a false self. We choose to live out of a different identity. Mary changes her name to Lilith. Lilith means female demons or wind spirits. Because you see, she was haunted and tormented. She became a tortured soul.
How long has she been like this?
Like what?
I'm trying to help her, Rivka.
All you're gonna do is mess this place up. Then what? You're gonna stop by and help clean?
The demons that torment her soul will turn your place to dust. Even if you care nothing for her soul, at least...
Lilith never hurt anyone that didn't hurt her first. Mostly. She has these spells. We let her be and then she's as sweet as an angel again. Cuss it all, Lil! You can put an end to this.
I adjure you, by the holy angels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, and Raziel, I adjure you, cursed dragon, diabolical legions, come out! I adjure you, spawn of Beelzebub, Abaddon and Sheol, by the utterance of all the watchers and the holy ones, in the name of Adonai, God of the heavens, cease to deceive this human creature. I command you, in covenant with Abraham, in the names of Jacob, Isaac, Moses, the all-powerful El Shaddai, fly from this innocent soul!
There is a pit that is so deep, so dark, that it can only be described as hell. And may I suggest that you don't have to die to live in hell. The Bible describes one of these conditions of the human soul as demonic possession. Now, when modern ears hear the words demon possession, it's met with skepticism or at the very least confusion. I mean, was that a pre-scientific ages people of trying to describe what we might call mental illness today? Is that just, a fairy tale? What is that? I would suggest that it's as much real today as it was 2,000 years ago. It's just often in our culture manifested differently. The enemy of our soul is wise and clever, sly to masquerade his presence so as not to be disturbed or moved. Yeah, possession is real. Friends, I've been in the presence of pure evil inhabiting a person. I know it's real. The scriptures say that it is, and there's several gateways that can lead into demonic possession. One of those is the spirit of murder or anger. Paul gives this sober warning in Ephesians. He says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Bitterness, an unresolved anger, can be the resting place of things that are terribly dark. There's no human cure for this, not even religion. For Lilith, there seemed little hope.
What do we do when we are scared?
We say the words.
Adonai's words. Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob. And he who formed you, O Israel, fear not.
Thus said the Lord, who formed you, O Jacob, and he who created you, O Israel. Fear not.
Lily, you are alive. We heard there was trouble. Come, sit.
I can't stay long.
I know. Please, sit.
Fresh off the boat from Cyprus.
No, I don't have the strength.
Calm down. You know what they say. A morgue or prevention?
There is no preventing this, Saul. There is no cure.
Come on, Lily.
It's getting worse. Yesterday, they brought in a holy man. Someone important. Maybe even from Jerusalem. I only remember bits and pieces and flashes.
A Pharisee?
He's a leader of the Pharisees, and he ran away in terror. So
one religious big shot just as full of it as the next.
No, I am in hell.
I'm sorry. Please, just try.
I brought you something.
You didn't have to.
It's for your nephew. I'm one of your nephews.
Thank you. Looks like it was loved for a very long time.
It used to hold something valuable. I don't need it anymore.
You're beginning to scare me.
You and everyone else.
Lilith adored her father, but he died when she was just a little girl. Did she get to process that grief? Did she really work through it? Or was it simply repressed? You know, a lot of the heartache and the pain that we experience, we don't deal with. And we think it's just gone, but it doesn't leave. It resides somewhere down here. And then as a young woman, she's assaulted by a Roman soldier. Does she carry resentment towards the God that her father taught her about? Does she feel that this God let her down, that he did not keep her safe, that he did not protect her? Maybe you have some resentment towards God because something bad happened to you and you wonder, where was he? This resentment causes Lilith to live out of that identity in that past. Kind of like Charles Dickens' novel, Great Expectations. You may have read that classic piece. It tells the story of Miss Havisham. When she was a young woman, she was engaged to be married, but on the day of her wedding at 8:40 in the morning, she got a letter from her soon husband-to-be that he wasn't coming. That crushed her. She took every clock in the house and set it at 8:40 so that it would forever remain at that time. When the letter came, she was wearing her wedding dress. She never took it off, even as it yellowed through the years. When news of the broken wedding came, she had one shoe on, and for the rest of her life, she hobbled around with one shoe, crippled by that blow. Even as an older woman, carrying the weight of the past and living in that pain. Are some of you living in the pain of something that happened to you? Lilith tries to find solace wherever she can, and she goes to a neighborhood bar. And the bartender there is a gentle soul, and he tries to console her and give her folk remedies, but nothing really works. The only thing that's going to fix this is God. But Lilith has given up on God. She's given up on hope. She's given up on life. So she goes to a cliff and plans to jump and end it all. But while she's there, a dove flies very close to her, grabs her attention, and she begins following this dove, and it takes her back to that neighborhood tavern. Could hope reside in a bar?
So, did it work? I'm sorry, Lilith.
Elias?
What?
We should talk, huh?
Leave me alone.
Oh, what, huh? He's going to scratch me, too.
Come on, not now.
So, see?
Not now.
Fine. She smells anyway.
I don't know what else I can do to help you.
Give me that. Lots of it.
That's not going to solve your problems. It's meant to distract from
them. No more preaching. Just give it to me.
Lilith, please listen to her then.
Please.
Lily. Lily, Lily, are you okay?
I have to go. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Mary. Mary of Magdala.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
Thus says the Lord who created you. And he who formed you. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
The Lord knows you. He formed you in your mother's womb, created you. He knows everything that you've experienced, the good and the bad. And he knows your name, and he calls you by name. I'm so glad that Jesus went to bars. Luke, as he tells the story of Jesus, gives us a little glimpse into the band of disciples that other gospel writers don't. In Luke 8, verse 1, it says this: after this, Jesus traveled about from town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Somewhere along the line, Jesus met this tortured soul and redeemed her. He had the power to do what nothing else was able to do. He set her free. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These were followers of Jesus. Joanna, she was rich. Her husband had a prestigious job. She was in the social circles, and yet she was tormented too. One thing we notice when we look at the band of disciples is they're not all similar. They come from very different backgrounds. Mary of Magdala and Joanna couldn't come from more different places, and yet they were part of the band of Jesus' followers. It says these women were helping to support them out of their own means. It wasn't unusual in the first century for rabbis to have women who kind of funded their efforts so that they could travel around the country with their male disciples. But did you notice something here? The 12 were with him, and also some women. These women followed Jesus too. We had this picture that there was Jesus and the 12 men, the 12 disciples. Oh, there was more. Do you know how scandalous that would have been in the first century? For much of human history, women were treated as second-class citizens, as property of their own husbands. They would never be allowed by a rabbi to follow. But Jesus is no ordinary rabbi. He turns the conventions of culture upside down. When it comes to the dignity and value of a human life, Jesus leads the way. And so Mary and Joanna and Susanna all followed. The town of Magdala is no more, but the ruins have been excavated, and it's a glorious place. They've built a beautiful chapel just outside the excavated area of this town. And as you enter this gorgeous chapel, this is the atrium dedicated to the women in Jesus' ministry. Every one of those marble pillars has a name on it. On one of them, Maria Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And there's one pillar left without a name for the women who influenced you to be a follower of Jesus. It's a beautiful place, but not nearly as beautiful as the woman herself and the redemption that God worked in her life. Mary, this woman who became a disciple of Jesus.
It's you. It's real. Lilith. No, no, please, don't be frightened. My name is Nicodemus. I ministered to you, Lilith.
I don't answer to that name. I am Mary. I was born Mary.
But you were called Lilith, yes?
Please, I must go.
No, no, please, Mary. I am desperate for your help, Mary. I'm a Pharisee. I'm visiting from Jerusalem. I'm a man of God. And I believe you have experienced a miracle, Mary.
Are you really a Pharisee?
Yes. I'm sorry, I wasn't... I'm not here to enforce Jewish law.
So how do you know who I am?
You really don't remember me at all. I burned incense?
I don't remember. It's all a blur. I can't go back into that.
No, no, I don't want you to. I can't even imagine. But you are healed. That much is clear. I just want to understand how it happened.
That makes two of us.
How long after my visit did you feel the change?
It wasn't anything you did. It was someone else.
Someone else?
He called me Mary. He said, I am his. I am redeemed.
And it was so. Who did this?
I don't know his name. And even if I did, I could not tell you.
Why not?
His time for men to know has not yet come.
His time for men? He performs miracles and seeks no credit? What does he look like? Is he a member of Sanhedrin? Would you at least know him if you saw him again?
I don't know why I am sharing this with you. I don't understand it myself. But here is what I can tell you. I was one way. And now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. So yes, I will know him for the rest of my life. I have to be home to prepare for Shabbat, as I'm sure you do.
So mended you're even hosting Shabbat dinner.
It will be nothing like yours, I'm sure of that. But I'm going to try. Shabbat shalom, Nicodemus.
Shabbat shalom, Mary.
He called me Mary. There's something really special about hearing your name. How much more so hearing your name from the lips of the Lord of heaven and earth. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows your past, the good, the bad, the ugly. And he can redeem it all. He is the Redeemer. He can redeem your life today if you will open yourself to his redeeming power, because this is the kind of God that he is. Not just the life of Mary of Magdala, but countless lives these 2,000 years have been touched and changed forever by this man. He can redeem you. It's the story of our lives being encountered by Jesus. And the one thing they have in common is him. The thing that happened in between was him. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The thing that happened in between was him. I was blind, but now I see. The thing that happened in between was him. Have you met him? Do you know him? He can redeem your life. Well, Mary would walk with Jesus for 3 years, and she would be the first one at the tomb following that awful Friday of crucifixion. She would be there first to see the stone rolled away and the body missing, and her first thought was they've added insult to injury and now stolen the body, and so she weeps by the tomb, weeps great tears of sorrow. And a man comes up to her and says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She assumes he's the gardener. And she says, "If you've taken him away, if you've put his body somewhere, let me know and I'll go get him." But that wasn't the gardener. That was the Lord of life. And he said one word to her. One word that changed her world. One word that allowed her to see that Jesus was resurrected. Mary. Her name. She is filled with such overwhelming joy. She grabs Jesus and squeezes that resurrected life out of him, and he calms her down. And then he gives Mary a job to do. She being the first eyewitness. This woman who was tormented, this woman who had 7 demons cast out of her, is the first eyewitness resurrection, a witness of the resurrection. And he gives her a job to do. Now go tell the boys. Only Jesus. Do you know him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you redeemed the life of Mary Magdalene and countless lives ever since. Thank you that you redeemed my life. I pray for anyone right now in this room who is wondering if that could work for them. May they open their hearts to you and allow you to call them by name. The spirit of prayer, I just ask you to have a moment here. And get silent and allow the Lord to speak your name. You may not hear it with your ears, but he is calling you. If you want to know him, If you seek the redemption that only he can give, would you just say this in your heart, Lord Jesus? Redeem my life. Yeah. We pray this in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.